Today, of course, is Trinity Sunday, celebrating a magnificent mystery of God and our Catholic faith. But as I say, it is a mystery, meaning that we only know about it because Jesus revealed it to us, and we'll never really understand it completely. I mean, it's really next to impossible to adequately explain the Trinity, to try to explain the very essence of God himself, his innermost being. After all, who can explain the innermost being of another person, much less the innermost being of the eternal, omnipotent creator of the universe? To say the least, it's difficult to understand. First of all, what does the dogma of the Trinity hold? We believe that there is one God who is three persons. They share the same divine nature, but each is God, whole and entire. They're really distinct from one another, not simply different modes of being. For example, it is wrong to say that, well, we call God the Father when we're talking about him creating the world, and we call him the Son when he's on the cross, and we call him the Spirit when he dwells inside of us. No, it's not just a matter of what you call him, it's a matter of what he is, who he is. God the Son is a different person than God the Father, who is a different person than God the Holy Spirit. But they're still one God. In particular, they're seen in relationship to one another, relating as a Father to his Son, and a Son who is eternally begotten from the Father. And the Spirit of the two that proceeds from both of them, some would say the personification of the love between the Father and the Son. Still one God, three persons. Now, that's absolutely clear now, right? We all understand it. No, it's difficult to explain and it's difficult to understand. And it's always been that way. 2,000 years ago, it was hard for the Jews to understand. After all, the central dogma of the Old Testament Judaism is that there is only one God. As we read in today's first reading, fix in your heart that the Lord is God and there is no other. But Jesus, they kept hearing Jesus say things like, the Father and I are one. And said they called him a blasphemer and tried to kill him and eventually succeeded. And it was hard for many people who wanted to be Christians in the second, third, and fourth century, but couldn't quite make it. These are the people like the heretics, the Gnostics, or the Donatists, or the Arians. They couldn't believe in the Trinity, and they didn't. And it was hard for the rich Arab merchant who, we remember in history, searched for the true God and apparently found him in Christianity, but then rejected him because he couldn't accept the truth about the Trinity. And so Muhammad made up his own religion to suit his unbelief. It's very difficult to understand the Trinity, and so very difficult to believe. And yet we do believe. But why? Very simple. We believe because Jesus said so. Jesus taught us the dogma of the Trinity. For example, on the one hand, Jesus himself proclaimed the central dogma of Judaism. He himself proclaimed that the Lord our God is one. And yet he kept calling God his Father. And he says, the Father and I are one. Now some might say that Jesus was just speaking metaphorically. He didn't really mean that God was his Father and he and the Father were one God. But as we read in John chapter 10, when the Jews accused Jesus of making himself God, and they tried to stone him, instead of saying, no, you misunderstood, I wasn't saying that. Instead of that, he said to them, I am the Son of God. No one understands that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. They wanted to stone him. And he insisted. And he kept on insisting on this. Who can forget the Last Supper when he goes on and on about his unity with the Father? The Father and it is me and I am in the Father, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. In particular, remember his rebuke at the Last Supper of St. Philip, who says, "Show us the Father and that'll be enough." And Jesus responds, "Have I been with you so long and still you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" And not only did Jesus insist that he was one God with his Father, he insisted that the Holy Spirit was one God with them also. He promised the apostles, "I shall send to you the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father." But then he also promises that, he says, "The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send you in my name." In other words, he says, both he and the Father will send the Spirit. And why? Because Jesus calls him the Spirit of the Father, but St. Paul calls him the Spirit of Jesus Christ. All the while insisting there's only one Spirit. We believe because Jesus said it. We believe because the apostles taught it and handed it down from generation to generation, both in sacred scripture and in sacred tradition. And so the church has always accepted it, not as simply a piece of trivia, but as the very first tenet of the Christian faith. If you do not believe in the Trinity, by definition, you're not a Christian. This has been so important to the church that the earliest summaries of the Christian faith, like the Apostles' Creed, which some say that the apostles themselves wrote, all of these early creeds are centered on the Trinity. And at the Council of Nicaea in 325, when all the bishops of the world came together for the first time since the death of the apostles, the most important thing they did was give us a more elaborate formulation of the Trinitarian Creed. The creed we say at every Mass on Sunday, the Nicene Creed, where we say, "I believe in one God, the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit." The Trinity is the first dogma of Christianity because the whole church comes out of it, revolves around it, and moves towards this mystery. Heaven is a sharing in the communion of life and love of the Trinity. It is living in the family, if you will, of the Trinity. The whole incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are Trinitarian. The Father gives his Son. The Son offers himself to the Father. The Son is conceived in the womb of his mother by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecost is Trinitarian. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit so that they can dwell inside of us and we can be one with them. The sacraments are Trinitarian. In baptism, we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our souls. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is the Father and the Son. And so we begin, by baptism, we begin our life in the Trinity. And then the Eucharist. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus makes us one with him and presents us to his Father. We see this reflected in the whole Mass. The Mass itself is Trinitarian. We begin the Mass in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we end the Mass the same way. And then throughout the Mass, we use these triple repetitions that remind us of the three persons and the one God. So we say, "Holy, holy, holy," speaking to three persons. We say, "Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." We say, "Agnus Dei, Agnus Dei, Agnus Dei." This pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim. All Trinitarian. The church itself is Trinitarian. It is one because the Trinity is one. It is the body of Christ enlivened by the Spirit to praise the Father. Creation, the whole of creation itself is Trinitarian. God made man in his own image so he could invite us to live and love in the life and love of the Trinity. This is what we believe. Still, it's difficult to understand. Does it make us stupid or naive or irrational if we believe it but don't understand it completely? No, because it would be stupid, naive, and irrational in the height of arrogance to think that we could ever really understand everything about God, especially about his innermost being. Do you understand how God created the universe? No, but you believe it. And it is very rational to do that. Do you understand how God can love each one of us uniquely and totally, even though you and I are like mere specks of dust in the universe to Him? Do you understand how God could become a man and die on the cross and still be completely God? Do you understand how God could truly come to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, under the appearance of bread that we could eat? We don't understand any of these completely. We have some inkling of them and some understanding, but still, we believe. Think about it. It would be so much easier for the church to proclaim the gospel without the Trinity. Who would make up something like this, so difficult to understand, and make it the central tenet of their belief? But some things we don't understand, we still believe, because Jesus said so. These are what we call mysteries of the faith. And by that, we don't mean just accepting them blindly and without understanding at all, but rather mysteries that are truths that are hidden in God, things too big or magnificent for us to understand, and which we could never begin to know anything about unless they are revealed to us by God. Things that we will never understand completely, but we keep trying and keep piercing deeper and deeper in our understanding of them. As Scripture reminds us, for who has known the mind of God, and who has been His counselor? Or who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and weighed the mountains in the scales like God? And if we can't understand something like creation or the incarnation, how can we hope to ever completely fathom the dogma of the Trinity? To believe this dogma is not to be foolish, but to accept a wonderful gift. To know God in His deepest self. To know something about the boundless and eternal intimate love and life of the three divine persons sharing so perfectly and completely. And to know the invitation to us to share in that relationship of divine, eternal, and boundless love and life, imperfectly in this world, but to share in it perfectly and forever in the world to come. As we continue now in this Holy Mass, let us turn to the Trinitarian mystery of the Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Son to His Father, made present by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by these sacred mysteries, may we now be lifted up into the wondrous and intimate mystery of the eternal and boundless love that is the Holy Communion of the Most Blessed Trinity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.